So, not going to be long-winded this morning. We have a lot to give thanks to, and I'm happy to do this. For those who are visiting us for the first time, my name is Ross. I want to welcome you, and I trust that you'll enjoy the service with us. I want to talk about doing life with God, just in review of the year, and I love the imagery of walking through the wilderness. It's amazing if you think about it, the book of Deuteronomy, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, it ends on this side of the Jordan River. It ends in the wilderness. It ends with a perpetual cycle of walking through the wilderness. It's amazing, and intentionally so. Jewish commentators through the years said it's intentionally so. Because we all like a happy ending. We all like the idea that, you know, the story of I had a dream, I was a poor boy. We like those movies where, you know, this poor boy is always rejected and cast out, and in the end, he is the rich, wealthy master man, you know? We like those stories, but life rarely happens like that because life continues, you know? Life continues. And God, what we learn from the book of Deuteronomy is the fact that although Israel is exceedingly unfaithful, God remains faithful. God feeds, God leads, God provides. Whatever trouble they get into, God delivers. It is the end. That is the one story that we get from the Bible, that God is walking with us. So I like the imagery, and I stick with that imagery today. I'm going to read from Psalm 13. It will be a short, brief message this morning because the psalm is short. But listen to this. He's saying, long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a look at me, God, a good look, my God. I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. It's so short. Can I do it again? It's like a long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God. My God, I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. I love the song. In the week, I just had such a great time. I had one of those moments in the week where stress was just about something was just getting too much for me. So I just closed the door and I just spent time with God, and then I met the Lord in this psalm. It's such a beautiful psalm of whoever the psalmist is, whether it be David, we don't know. But just in a place of desperation, again, he's crying out to God and saying, God, it's long enough. I've been praying for this one thing for so long, and it seems as though you've turned your back on me. I'm talking to the back of your head. You don't give me FaceTime, God. It feels as though I'm constantly looking at the back, and that phrase, long enough. And the next movement, the next paraphrase is saying, take a good look at me, God. Just look me in the eye. Just stop. Can I just see you? Can you just turn your face to me? My only prayer is that I may see that you notice me, acknowledge me, and acknowledge this pain. Because the pain he describes in the first stanza powerfully. I mean, he's talking about a desperation, frustration, there's anger. There's really a sense of abandonment. He's crying out to God. There's really anguish, and the anguish is not just emotionally. He's saying, God, my body is responding. My stomach, the acid is eating up my body. My body is in a knot. I can't take it long enough. How long, God? That's the cry. He's crying out to God, take a look at me. He says, look me in the eye. Because I know if you look me in the eye, I can look life in the eye. You can read that both ways. He's saying, if you look me in the eye, then I know that you acknowledge me and that you haven't abandoned me. I'm confident that you're with me, and then I can look life in the eye. Oh, he means you are the source of life. I'm looking you in the eye. I'm filled with life when I look at you. It's beautiful, eh? And that last phrase of the desperation, of just abandonment, God, I'm throwing myself at you. I'm coming for you. Catch me. Throwing myself in your arms. And then the thing, I don't know how I can describe it. It felt as though I described it as being in an equatorial dead spot. You know, I'm in this little sailboat. I'm sailing in the ocean. It's lekker. God is the source of my wind. God is my sunshine. I feel safe. I feel driven. I feel empowered by God. And then there was a space in this year, a few months, where I just felt, you know, I did my job. I think I did a good job. I'm not talking about that. I lacked inspiration. I lacked the sense of inspiring, empowering presence of God that just drives me, you know, where I feel creative, I feel on the top of my game, I feel things are coming at me, I think I can do stuff, you know, I just feel, in a sense, a bit invincible. God is with me. You can't touch this. Da, 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 da. Ne? You full swear. And there was a space, a long few months in the middle of this year where I did not feel that. And I'm crying out to God, I'm crying and I'm praying, and I felt as though God was very happy with me being stuck in the middle of nowhere. Very happy. God was very happy. And I knew that, you know, because I didn't feel abandoned by God. I just felt, aren't you going to do something? Just come and be inspirasie. Help me. But it wasn't that, you know. It was as though God was very happy for me to just detox. And then we had that season of doing nothing in church. Well, not nothing. Just no grow groups, no anything, just life with God. God invited us to be still and relax, to just rest with him, to slow down and be with him, to be with one another. And it was something beautiful happened in me in that time. But it was a beautiful way. I felt the sun in my face. I felt God is looking at me. I felt as though God was noticing me and affirming, doing deep stuff in the inside. But it was beautiful. And that last stanza, the last chorus here, throwing myself headlong into your arms, I'm celebrating your rescue, I'm singing at the top of my lungs, I'm so full of answered prayers. And I think why I love this psalm is, I think at any time, any Israelite or any Christian can sing the song, because there's always something that we trust in God for. God designed us this way. You will never be sufficiently empowered for anything. You are creature, he is creator. He's the source. We are made to be dependent on God forever. You will always need God. You will always be dependent on God. There will always be something too big for you. You will always feel, in a sense, I'm cautious for my words now, as though something more can come to your marriage. Can I say that rather than being dissatisfied? Can I say that? Nah? You will always need grace from God for something. You are always dependent. We are always created for this longing to cry out to God. That little bird never grows up. Always be dependent on God. Always. We will always have a need for FaceTime with God. Take a deep look at me, God. Look at me. We'll always have that. And we'll always be able to sing with the psalmist, I'm so full of answered prayers. And it's the same time. It's not as though at one stage, you know, one of the stanzas will stand out most for you. But you will always be able to be still and to look around, even though you're still crying out, it feels as though you're ignoring me. At the same time, you can say, I'm so full of answered prayers. Because your journey has been a few years. God has been faithful. And I love this song. I really absolutely love the song. My seasons and dimensions, I long for help. I can look at it. This text is a mirror to us, Daniel. I long for help, desire for acknowledgement. I rejoice because God came through. We can relate to it in all three of these seasons. The next, what does this text remind us today? Reminds us that that my God is very personal. My God is very personal. I love, you know, I don't know. Do you feel comfortable to say this to God? I mean, in this way. To pray these irreverent prayers. To say to God, it's long enough now. I'm done. And I think for the Afrikaans people, especially here, for people who grew up in a very Protestant Reformed environment, we're not so comfortable to say, God, it's enough now. You know, it's not as though you're going to shock God, because it's deep inside, you feel that anyway, but you might as well say it. He's waiting for you to say it. But to, in desperation, just cry it and say, God, this has been enough. I'm done. You know? But God is extremely personal. God is a person who has a relationship with you. And if you feel frustrated, you might as well just say it to him and get it out with it. That's what I love about the Psalms. That's what I love about Peterson's Psalms. He just translates it well so that it doesn't sound so deep, holy. It's just saying it blindly. Same time, my God is extremely faithful, you know. God is faithful. I'm so full of answered prayers. And I thought about it, that celebration at the end, I'm singing at the top of my lungs because I'm so full of answered prayers. He's singing that at the same time he's saying, it's been enough now. It's been enough now. And because God is faithful. I might as well praise him now because he's going to fulfill this request anyway. He's always done it. He always comes through. He never lets me down. My God really cares. He's really personal. He really feels. Cast your cares on the Lord. He really cares for you. God is really, the psalm tells me that God deeply cares about you, because God is the one who put the psalm right there in the Bible for you. He's saying, pray this. If you don't know what to say, use these words of David. Say it to me. Say it. I'm angry at you. Thank you. I care how you feel. I care about your desperation. I care about your frustration. I care about the sense of just anger on the inside and shame because your enemies are looking down and because you look like an idiot the whole time because your life doesn't work out. God is saying, I feel you. Beautiful. And then God hears. God hears. God hears. God cares. And God saves. This is what the psalm says. The invitation for me this morning is just so full of answered prayers to pray honestly. And even in this Thanksgiving service, it's appropriate for you to say, God, really feel frustrated about this. But like Paul said, bring your petitions and your frustrations, bring your petitions and prayers to God with thanksgiving. Just recognize that you're saying these things in the light of years of my faithful care. Just recognize that. It's good for you to recognize that God has always been here. And God has. So when you pray these prayers, remind yourself that God hears and that you are full of answered prayers, that he has come through for so many years. It's beautiful, ne? And then pray persistently. Don't give up. Don't give up. God hears. God is doing something in that equatorial dead spot where you feel you're going nowhere. God is doing something. All things work together for the good for those who love God. This is a gift of God. It's good. It's good. And then the last thing, pray with thanksgiving. Bring your prayers with thanksgiving. Bring that list of fullness of unanswered prayers. I want to invite you now for a moment, and it's a little bit late. I was going to sing a song, but I didn't. I'm so good these days with not singing the whole time. How many of you brought your thank you cards? If you're visiting for the first time, obviously you didn't, ne? But Robert is back there, or Corey's back there, ready to give you a thank you card. I want to invite you, and we're going to do this now. At the end, I'm going to share a bit first. But I want you to please take a pen. And just to, if you don't have one of these cards with you now, don't you just raise your hands? I feel like an evangelist. I see that hand, see that hand, see that hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Keep it up. So, what does a mother of a 2-year-old toddler putting on a jersey, what does a bank robber and a DJ have in common? They all say, put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air right now. I want you to please take a moment, because after I'm going to share about next year, I want to invite you to please bring forward these cards. So if you want to take a moment and just write down a few things, if I were to ask you, when the psalmist says to you, you're full of answered prayers, what are the answered prayers? What are the things that you're thankful for God this year? And the reason why I want to do it, and I explained it last week and the previous week as well, is, you know, when people had a Thanksgiving service during Israel's time, you would take your first lamiki, your lamb, you would take your chickens, you would take your barley or your grapes, and you'd walk to Jerusalem with it, and you would say, God, for these things, first fruit, for these things I'm thankful. And you would put it down, and you would look and say, the whole time you're carrying this, you go like, wow, God did this for me. Wow, another year of harvest. Wow, you're not comparing the bigness of the harvest. You're carrying these grapes are gifts from God. And you're giving it back to God and saying, God, you gave it to me. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for these things. It means something, God. I am provided for. I am cared for. You heard me. Thank you for these things. And you would give it to God and put it down as a gift, as an offering. And this morning, we want to give you that opportunity to say thank you to God for these things. Okay, so thank you that you didn't bring your solar panels. Thank you that you didn't bring your fuel, whatever you do for work or your children or the grades of your children that you did at school. Thank you. But just to bring these to God and say, God, for these we thank you. Because it does something to you to do something, to say thank you, God. So in a moment, I'm going to do this. Let's, Daniel, while the people are writing, for those who didn't do their homework at home, okay, they're doing it now. Don't you just want to play that intro loop video? And if someone at the back can just dim the lights for us, please. This is our Thanksgiving reel for the year. Let's just look at it, and afterwards, I'm going to invite you to please bring it forward. My wife politely asked me to make the music stop. Thanks. Elevator music. It was supposed to be there in front of it before the service. Yeah, like it. So please keep your cards and please write down. You can watch the reel later and we can see if we can do something with the music. But these cards, think about your year. It's amazing. Let me just tell you this one sentence and I'm done. When I thought about my year, obviously you start with the people and the events. And then I remembered some profound encounters with God that actually changed my life in the year. And I think at the end, you know, it's the most precious moments for me because I changed because of this. Like, I'm going to show, talk through a few things for next year. And I wanted to do this because I wanted you guys to get excited about what we're doing. I wouldn't have been a charismatic pastor if I didn't use the word excitement at least once during the service. Empowered, inspired, excited, flourishing, something. Life with God 2024. So this year we really focused on making room for God. So Daniel, do you have the next slide there? Oh, make it go to Life with God, slide number one more. Down, yes. So for next year, we're excited because, I did it again, we're going to talk about continuing this journey with God. This year, we really slowed down and cultivated rhythms of being with God. And for next year, when we prayed as an eldership and as a staff, we prayed and we just felt that God is saying, build on relating to God, move to participating with God. Build on relating to who is God the Father, who is God the Spirit, and who is God the Son with you. And maybe you can just show the next slide, just to the next one, please. Just throw it all in the air for you. So for January and February next year, we're going to work through the book of John, and we're going to talk about who is God the Father. 251 times in that book, Jesus refers to the Father. 251 times. So the book really is about how to relate, who is God the Father, and how to relate to him. The next bit, we're going to look about about Jesus, and we're going to talk about the book of Hebrews, the book that was written primarily to show Jesus' supremacy in all things. I'm going to talk about who Jesus is and how do I relate to him on this earth. Who am I in him? Thirdly, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the book of Corinthians. I mean, the book is the one book we really want to get to know. How do we live with the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit and how do I know him? And more than just letting me speak in tongues and doing miracles, how do I relate to God, the Holy Spirit? And we're going to do that May to June. So relating to God, the next bit, next second half of the year, we're going to talk about participating with him. How do I not just know him and become like him, but how do I move with him and act like him? How do I participate with God in this world? And we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy. You heard me speak about a lot about it the last few months. But just participating with God's reign on the earth. How do I move with God in everyday life? My feet on this ground, on the property, in the work that I do. How do I live with God on this earth, God the Father? Secondly, we can talk about just reconciling all things in Christ through Jesus. And Ephesians and Colossians, we're going to study those two books. And we're going to talk about relating to him. And then thirdly, revealing in the Spirit. November, December, we're going to talk about how do I live with God, the Holy Spirit, in this world? How do I act and witness, and not just preaching the gospel, but also demonstrating the reign of God in all things? So we're really excited about that. And moreover, next slide, please, Daniel. We're really excited, and I think this is the first time we're doing it. We've done Bible studies in the past, but we want to give you each one for the first part of the year and for the second part of the year a journal with reflective writings on the book of John, God the Father, the book of Hebrews, Jesus, the book of Corinthians, the Holy Spirit, because we recognize, as we can see this morning, that church attendance, for practical reasons, is not every Sunday. But we really feel that God is inviting us as a community to walk with him. So if you have to visit Omar on her birthday and you miss something, I'm going to say you won't miss it, because all the sermon notes will be in your book already. It's like a... And the idea is that our services will be focused on ministry. We will minister, but there will be ministry, encounter time with God. Holy Spirit moments, moments with the Father, moments with the Son, moments with the Spirit in you. So you'll have all the notes, reflective questions, writing. We're really excited. It's really going well. The writing's really going well. You can pray for that. So the publisher will finish everything in time and the two authors will finish everything in time. It's like a, yeah, so first half of the year, relating to God, life with God. Second half of the year, participating with God. And then just want to tell you this, there are papers at the back. I'm missing my papers now, but the grow groups, we have 28 grow groups starting in January. I was really excited about that. Fifth time I use the word now. But 28, and it's amazing stuff. I'm not going to go through it now. Please look at it afterwards, but I'm definitely going to, yeah, I want you to see it. I want you to go through it. I want you to pray. What do you want to grow in? The question is, what do you really want to grow in? What do you genuinely want to grow in? We've got grow groups about running, just friendship and running. We've got grow groups about contemplative prayer. We've got grow groups in entrepreneurship. We've got grow groups in working styles. We've got grow groups in everything that you can imagine, addiction, overcoming addictions and stuff, mindful growth. But please look at that and start praying about that. That's what we want to invite you into next year. Can we just look at the grow group video, please? And if someone at the back can dim the lights again. Is there no grow group video? The rapture happened early. Okay, Laka. Is there a ECD, Delft ECD video? No videos. No videos. Okay, goed, so I'm so happy because I would have looked like a fool in the grow group videos. It's just a show reel. It's funny. Okay, Laka, classic. So I want to invite Christelle de Villiers. Please come and share a testimony afterwards, Christelle Fourie. God has been good to us. Just before you bring your Thanksgiving cards, just invite Christelle. Her story is profound for me. Okay, eerst hierdie Christelle, dan Christelle. Okay, Christelle Fourie eerst dan. Dankie. Okay, Christelle, ek sal jou voorgestel het. So, Christelle. Christelle and her husband used to be in Shofar in Cape Town and moved to Europe a while ago. But her journey with God, I'm not going to share anything, it's been profound. And this year she was able to write down her testimony and what God has done for us. I'm just going to leave it at that and let you tell everything else. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry to the other Christelle. I thought it was me he was calling up. So it's amazing that there's two Christelles today sharing their testimony. Like Ross said, Pastor Ross said that I'm Christelle Fourie. So Matthew, you might know my husband. Some of you might know him. The two of us are leading a church in Sweden. But we're originally from South Africa, and it's been in Shofar, in Stellenbosch, and Cape Town, and also in London. So we've been all over the place. But I'm so privileged to share my testimony today. So I'm going to take, I have 10 minutes to share. I won't go over the time. So in 2007, I got engaged to Matthew, my husband. And about 3 months after our engagement, 4 months before our wedding date, I had thrombosis. So that is blood clots. And they suspected it was caused by the contraceptive pill I just started using less than a month before. So they gave me blood thinners for this thrombosis, the blood clots in my veins. And for some reason, the doctors don't know why, this made my brain bleed. So the whole right side of my brain bled, and the blood was on its way to my brain stem. So I would be brain dead when it gets to my brain stem. And then people started praying for me. And many of you here prayed for me. People all over the country, people from other countries prayed for me. They heard about it before Facebook time, but somehow people heard about it and they started praying for me. And then some of these people that prayed for me, they saw dreams, they had dreams, and they saw me walking down the aisle, and that God promised that He's going to heal me. And then also While I was in the hospital, the doctors, by the way, gave me only a 10% chance to live. And they said that if I would live, I probably will be paralyzed. And then about on the 5th of July, 2007, the doctors called in my parents and my fiance and then said, they need to come to the hospital and say goodbye. I won't make it. There's nothing more they can do for me. And at that stage, my parents and my fiancé and some of the doctors and nurses, they went into a room next door, next to mine, and they started praying. And while they were praying, one of the nurses came running in, and she said, oh, they need to come. My condition has changed. Because you look at the pupils of a patient with brain damage or pressure on their brain, the pupils are normally very, very big. And in that time, my pupils have returned back to normal. And since that day, I started getting better. So I had to learn to do everything again. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move anything except for this arm. But everything else was completely paralyzed. I couldn't even close my eyelids. Everything was paralyzed. So I had to learn to sit again. I had to learn to eat again. I had to learn to speak again and to move parts of my body. And then so we decided to keep our wedding date. And the first day I could walk was the day of my wedding. So I walked down the aisle just like God has promised. So it was exactly like his promise. He has kept his promise. And we're speaking about promises and things that God can do today. God did this miraculous healing in my life. And since that day, I've seen many, many healings. I've seen many miracles. You can read it in my book. So I know that God is a healer. I know he can heal. And I'm living proof of it. But my question today is, what if God doesn't heal? Like we've said, I love that scripture that you shared today where it says, I'm so full of answered prayers. That is so amazing. But maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, I know for me a few years back, I would think, oh, you know, God, that is not true. And maybe you are sitting here and you're feeling like that. God, I can't say that I'm full of answered prayers. So I want to share something more of my testimony to you, and maybe that will open your heart to more of God. So in 2012, so after God has miraculously healed me of my brain bleed, in 2012, Matthew and I found out that we are expecting twin daughters. And now, we were living in Sweden already. And I was so excited. I've always wanted twins. I've never actually said it to anyone because it's kind of impossible to happen. It's not in our family. In general, our family struggles having kids. But I found out we are expecting twin daughters. So I was so excited. But halfway through my pregnancy, I developed some complications. And I got an infection. And the medical staff here might know that infections, it triggers labor. So I went into early labor. So I was in the hospital, and they tried to give me drugs to suppress that too. So I was lying in the hospital. And while I was lying there, people again all over praying for me. I had a whole army of, and this time there was Facebook, so there were many people praying for me. And I heard this song while I was in the hospital in my head playing all the time. I've never heard this song before. And the line that I kept hearing was, I lift up my eyes, I lift up my eyes, you're the giver of life. And after a few days, I decided to Google this to see if this song actually exists. And I know you guys maybe sing this song because it does exist. And the rest of the song is actually very profound. I'm not going to go into that. But that God came to save us. He lifted us out of the grave. So I took that as a promise that God's saying he's going to heal my twins. They're going to survive. So I was convinced. I had faith that God would heal my twins. But at 23 weeks of gestation, so it's very early, in pregnancy. Gabriella was born. She was stillborn. And then about 6 hours later, her little sister, Michaela, was born. And she lived only 16 days. She unfortunately also got an infection. So both of my two girls went to heaven. And I was so mad at God. And I was so lost and I had so many questions. Like, why does he allow this to happen? I know that he can heal. Why did he not heal? Did he not love me? Does he not love me? And the devil came to tell me so many lies. But God in that pain, so I'm not going to go through it. You'll have to read the book. But God in that pain, he came to meet me. And he came to speak truth to all those lies. And he showed me that he actually did, in fact, heal my girls, just not in the way that I expected it should be done. Because he showed me that because of Jesus Christ, they are healed. They are in heaven with him. Because of Jesus, Jesus made a way. Jesus made a way that they would live forever. So they are living, just not in the way that I expected it to be. And maybe you have been praying prayers and like feeling that God's not answering your prayers, but maybe it's just not in the way that you expected it to be. And like I said, there's a lot more to the story. There's some more prayers that I prayed that God answered in different ways. But you can read more about it in my book. So there's maybe a slide. I don't know if they have the slide on the screen. So you can order the book on Amazon. I unfortunately don't have any physical copies sealed here today. I forgot them. But you can order the book on Amazon. And so this book, I hope that it blesses you. The name of the book is Darwin Shua, which is a very strange name. I had to learn to do everything again. The first word I spoke was Darwin Shua. They wrote it on the ICU board in the hospital. And I never really knew exactly what it meant, so I just said, I Googled, I could not find the meaning of it. But I just wrote in my book, Darwin Shua, it's a word of encouragement. This book is a word of encouragement for anyone who has unanswered prayers, who is struggling with health issues, or is just struggling with some things in life and has questions to God. So this book is for you. And so when it was published, one of the people that bought it actually did some more research on this word. She broke it up in a few words. And in Arabic, it means, it is written. And in Sesotho, I will not die. It is written, I will not die. God spoke those words over me when I was still lying on my deathbed. So he is in control of your situation. Doesn't matter what you're going through, God is in control, even if it doesn't look like it. Bless you.
Thank you, Christel. Bye bye, Ranki. Thank you for coming to visit on your holiday time and to share the book. And we really want to encourage you, because it is true that it's nice to hear the story. I was single and now I'm married and I've got 5 beautiful children. But what do we say to people who's walking with God and life turns out differently? Do we know the goodness of God in the valley of the shadow of death? It's a beautiful story. Thank you so much. Bye bye, Ranki. Rarif, thank you. Christel Wattel, I said Christel de Villiers, she's still on my phone. All of you that I've married, you're still in my, and you're annoyance funner op my phone.
Thanks, Ross. Yeah, God does amazing things and he's in control with it. You're going through something massive like either Christel went through or something small, doesn't matter. So there at the back in the mother's room, my amazing husband is there with our 6-month-old little boy. And the first 2 months of his life was nogals difficult. So let's start with 2 days before he was born. In church, God gave me scripture, Revelation 4. It's just a picture of the throne room and God sitting on the throne, surrounded by glory and a sea of glass as crystal before him. And a few weeks before that, Ross preached on that chapter, so I kind of got the context and the amazing symbolism. So I just meditated on that and then went into labor. And long story short, after quite a few hours of labor, my vitals crashed. No one knows why. To this day, the doctors don't know why. So I was lying there, seizing, and the gynae couldn't find little Gwan's heartbeat, and she was starting to panic, and the one nurse got flushed, and the other one was hyperventilating. And I was like, Nieman, God isn't on the throne. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Don't panic. God is... He told me it's going to be fine. So then, C-section, everything was fine. The Gwan was very healthy, no problems. 2 days later, after being discharged, I'm back in hospital. Some infection. To this day, they couldn't find the source of the infection. But long story short, for the next 2 months, I was in and out of hospital. And at times, I was so weak, I couldn't even lift my head, let alone hold my baby. And especially in those times, I just cried so much. Not because it was bad, but because I was so overwhelmed with God's goodness. Like, even though I'm in this situation, He's still in control. He knows how this ends. He knows it's going to be fine. But yet, even though you know He knows how it's going to end, He still has so much compassion for what we're going through and what we're feeling in that moment. It's not like, Nieman, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Man up. Don't feel like that because it's going to be fine. He's got so much compassion for us. And I was overwhelmed. I think all the parents here can also relate. You just understand deeper how God feels about us when you have that little body in your arms and He's got wins and He's crying. You're like, oh, shine peace. Like, I really wish I could fix that for you because I have so much. I know it'll be fine. I know 3 months from now, no more colic, done, whatever. But just God's goodness and God's compassion for us really overwhelmed me. And in that time, I was so thankful for the church and for us and everyone else for supporting us through that, and especially for the intercessors. Like, I could really feel your prayers carrying me through. So thank you. And also, so thankful for family who took us in, because if it wasn't for family taking care of us, we would literally have died. Like, I couldn't even lift my head, let alone get something to eat, you know. And so thankful for my amazing husband. Like, he's the best husband and father for a child that I couldn't have asked for. Couldn't have asked because I didn't know that such amazing people could exist. And above all, just so thankful for God. He's just always in control. It doesn't matter whether you're drowning in the sea or drowning in a teacup. Drowning is drowning, and He's there, and He's got compassion. And whether you're going through, whether you stumped your toe or whether you lost your leg, I mean, God has compassion for that. And anyone who's going through something difficult, I just want to encourage you, like the psalm that Ross shared, so full of answered prayers. And whether it looked like Christelle also shared, whether it looks like what you thought the answer to the prayers would be, doesn't matter. Sometimes it works out perfectly, like in our case. Other times it doesn't. So, but still, God is on the throne. And whether the sea looks like it's, you know, drown you and the waves are massive and stormy, to God it's like glass, calm as glass, because He knows the bigger picture and how this ends. Thank you.
Thank you, Christelle. Thank you, Christelle. So I want to invite you to just hold your card, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to sing. You're going to sing with me, please. And then I want you just to bring the cards forward and just put it down here somewhere. It's just as a gift to God. Just if it's private, just turn it down. No one's going to read it. But just to turn it down and just say, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we are so full of your answered prayers, God. Jesus, who said that in this world we will have trouble, but we should cheer up because you have overcome the world. We are so full of your answered prayers, God. Thank you for your goodness in this year. Thank you that we can close another year, 2023, with the knowledge that God is good. And Lord, your kingdom is coming and is advancing. And one day you'll return and we'll be free of sin and sickness and suffering and Satan. But in this time, God, we thank you that we are full of answered prayers. You are faithful. You are with us. In Jesus' name.